center and coming in as Bloom. He would like center that.
Flame bench, there's all kinds of excitement going on there.
Scores! Roll the highlight reel. 6-0 Flames.
Here it is, put it in the wind tunnel.
Yeah, baby, yeah, baby, yeah, baby.
This is Flames Talk with Pat Steinberg and Ryan Pike on Sportsnet 960 The Fan.
Let's get to it. This hour is underway. Look who's back. After a couple weeks off, we got Pike with us. Ryan Pike of Flames Nation and FlamesNation.ca this hour, which is also the Sports Drive, brought to you by Calgary Lock and Safe. Do you own a pharmacy? Find out how Calgary Lock and Safe can retrofit your locks to meet the new mandates. Visit CalgaryLockandSafe.com. My name is Pat Steinberg. Yes, Pike, the managing editor over at Flames Nation. We're available, Flames Talk, on Apple, Spotify, Google, Amazon, or live right here on Sportsnet 960, The Fan. Hi, Pike.
Hi, Pat. How are you?
I'm well. It's good to have you back in the flesh. You even got a pass card today. It's even more official now. I am really liking what I'm seeing with Jonathan Huberdeau and Michael Backlund on a line right now. Let's dive deep on this. I wrote about it over at FlamesNation.ca for Tuesday morning, and the results that Backlund has, that Huberdeau has had on a line with Backlund are by far the best he's had with any center so far. Now, granted, all of this that we're talking about, whether it's Lindholm or Kadri or Backlund, all of this is with a very limited sample size. And there's always that caveat because hockey is much better viewed with a large sample size as opposed to a tiny 4 or 5 game sample size. In saying that, I just think there's a real possibility that a line of Backlund and Huberdeau, and maybe Blake Coleman as well, because I think Coleman is a really underrated part of what a good line can do. I just think there's some potential there. This is Blake Coleman on Monday's Flames Talk postgame following a 5-2 win in Philadelphia.
They're both really good players. Easy guys to learn and play with. And I know what I'm going to get out of backs every night. And Hubie's obviously one of the best in the world at transition and making plays. And I think in the last couple of games, you started to notice just the comfort level and the plays he's making, and even the battle side in the O-zone, he's been really good for us. So it's fun playing with these guys, and it's a good start for us, and just got to keep building on it.
You go take a look at the results that Huberdeau's had with Backlund. They have been on the ice together for 6 5-on-5 goals, none against. Expected goals are through the roof. High danger chances, scoring chances, possession has all been outstanding with those two playing together. You add Coleman on the right side, and I think it gives just a little bit more reliability and predictability. I don't know, Pike. I just think they might have found something there with Huberdeau and Backlund, and we'll dive into it a little bit more, but your take on the surface of that.
Well, I think Monday after the game, in his comments to the media, associate coach Kirk Muller, I think, used the term a puck hunter for Blake Coleman, and I love that term because his puck pursuit and puck retrieval is very good. He basically created 2 goals or started scoring sequences that led to 2 goals. Against the Flyers with just straight up puck pursuit. He stole the puck, he moved it up the ice in the right direction, and guys scored. And, that's helpful. It's helpful to have the puck. So you have a guy that, like Coleman, who can go get you the puck and keep the puck. Backlund, it's been well documented, has been an extremely reliable possession player pretty much since he started the NHL, but especially since that last lockout in 12-13. He's been, getting consistently Selke votes every year, some years more than others, but he's always on a few ballots because he just has he's built a reputation as a guy who can just go there and give you reliable minutes. And I think I love Coleman's phrasing of, you always know what you're going to get. And if you're Daryl Sutter and you're trying to find a place where Huberdeau will work, that seems like the type of player you want to put him with.
Well, and I want to maybe debunk what I think is a bit of a myth, and push back on.
Oh,
on a
I know where you're going with
which
this.
One.
I know where you're going with this.
Well, tell me where I'm going. Let's see if you got it right.
I think you're looking at how the lines are used.
Correct.
And saying the numbering of people are throwing out there is inaccurate.
Correct. You are. You're absolutely correct.
And of course, in Pat's heart, whatever line Michael Backlund is on is the first line.
Number one in your heart always. Bax is always number one in my heart. Even. Brett Ritchie, move over. It's always Backs. It's always been Backs. No, I just, when you look at the way that Daryl Sutter uses his lines right now, there is no bona fide number one center. There's no defined number two or three center. Just when you go take a look at ice time, 5-on-5 ice time per game right now through 18 games of the season, there are 36 seconds that separate Nazem Kadri, Michael Backlund, and Elias Lindholm in terms of how they've been used. Kadri averages 12 minutes and 39 seconds of 5-on-5 ice time. Backlund averages 12 minutes and 27 seconds, and Lindholm averages 12 minutes and 3 seconds. They are essentially playing the identical amount of minutes per game at 5-on-5. It's not your typical line one, line two, line three. This ain't the Lindholm line last year going out there for 22 minutes and blowing the doors off people. You've got three centers right now that you can use almost perfectly evenly. And there are nights like Monday in Philadelphia where Backlund's line was used as the no-questions-asked undoubted number one line. Go take a look at 5-on-5 minutes on Monday.
And I think that's the trend we've seen in the last, what, four games that Huberdeau's been on that line. They've gotten a little bit more than the other two top lines in terms of 5-on-5 usage. It evens out when you look at power play and special teams time. But, yeah, I completely agree with you. I think when you have a Huberdeau on that line, you lean on that line a little bit more. It makes sense. But you also, if they weren't performing, I don't think Sutter would be as comfortable giving them an extra shift or two.
And that's just it. Because they don't have a number one line like they did last year. And that was so much fun, having that line with the two wingers going for over 100 and Lindholm being this Selke Trophy runner-up center iceman. That was awesome. But they don't have that this year. So you've got the ability to construct more balanced lines and then use them depending on which line is rolling the best that night. And so far, the line with Backlund and Huberdeau on it has consistently been the one that has been giving them the best outputs. And so there's no reason to break it up right now. B, when you tell me that, well, you got to get Huberdeau into the top six, he is in the top six right now because he's playing on a line that is playing amongst the most on the team. And here's the thing that adds a little bit more fuel to my fire. Go look at how Huberdeau was used last year. And it's not even just that he played mostly with Duclair and Bennett last year. It's the fact that once Claude Giroux got there, Huberdeau was not even in Florida's top six for 5-on-5 minutes per game. He was number seven amongst forwards for 5-on-5 minutes per game. So this whole idea that you need to use Huberdeau in a defined number one role, well, that's not true. He put up 115 last year in he was a middle six 5-on-5 forward last year, and he put up 115 and set a record with 85 assists for a left winger. And that's not to say that he's not a first-line player or that he's a second- or third-line player. It's just that if he's going to produce more on another spot and it's not working with Lindholm, then why fight it? Like, let these guys go out there and be a good line. Chemistry is dumb in the NHL. It defies what we think we know a lot of times. And so Backlund's a fixer. We know about the Backlund bump. He makes players around him better. There's no coincidence that Duclair and Bennett have the best seasons of their career by, like, country miles with Huberdeau on their line. Let these two, let a center who has a history of elevating those around him, and let a winger who has a history of elevating those around him, let them play. And that's not to say Kadri and Lindholm don't elevate, because they do. I'm just saying maybe the fit there isn't as good as it could be with Huberdeau and Backlund.
I just think it'd be kind of funny if Matthew Tkachuk was able to find his way with the Flames initially alongside Michael Backlund. It would be kind of symmetry if Jonathan Huberdeau can do the same thing. I mean, small sample sizes, but we're suckers for fun narratives around here.
Yeah, and it's true. But I wonder if there is something there for the long term. And I just, if Huberdeau, or it's not even so much just about him. If the Flames don't find a number one line like they had last year, that's okay, because they may not have the personnel to have a number one line like they did last
year. I think Daryl Sutter's alluded to that. The idea being that if you lose two 40-goal guys from your team, you're probably going to have to change how you do things. It's just natural. It's nothing against the players they received. It's just it's a different group, and they have to figure things out. And I think, you know, at some of his more honest moments with us, Daryl sort of alluded to that. Sometimes he hasn't even alluded to that. Sometimes he said it very bluntly. So I think in a lot of ways, the coaching staff is sort of muddling through and figuring out what to do with guys. I mean, even just the idea, you know, the fact that Adam Ruzicka is playing with two of the Flames' best offensive players in Lindholm and Toffoli, and it's working for the most part, despite the fact that that Ruzicka was, you know, by and large a bystander for a lot of last season, sitting in the press box with us, not with us, but you know what I mean, in the same.
Usually sits right beside me, and we just talk about the game.
One of these days, you got to do that.
No, I don't think the Flames would like that. I don't think they would like.
They don't want you poisoning young minds, Patrick.
Exactly.
But no, I think
poison our producers enough.
I think the idea, you know, if you want, I think the idea being from the Flames perspective, you know, if you got three lines that can cook, it makes you a lot tougher to match up against. If you only have one, then if you're, say, the Edmonton Oilers in the second round last year, it becomes a little bit easier to match against the Flames' best players. But if the Flames' best players are distributed and they got more than one line to worry about, it makes it a little bit tougher.
Well, and, you know, we always talk about forward pairs, and Daryl always talks about forward pairs. Well, if he's talked a lot about Backlund Coleman. Well, what if Backlund Huberdeau becomes a pair, and Coleman's kind of a line fixer himself because he's so reliable and so damn good? Like, what about Kadri Coleman at some point? You're telling me that Kadri Coleman, Mangiapane, maybe down the road wouldn't be something that could be like that Tampa. Everybody called the Tampa line with Gord, Goodrow, and Coleman a third line. But again, usage-wise, it wasn't. They were rolled out more like a second line because they played all the tough matchups. Maybe the offense wasn't quite there like a second line, but it's the strength of the Calgary Flames this year. If they're going to have the success they want to have, in my eyes, the strength is going to be their balance and their ability to actually use effectively three, especially three. And this is no knock on the fourth, but three really good forward lines.
And I think we touched on the roundtable last segment too with Derek, the idea being, you know, the Flames, if you have, say, Michael Stone can be what he was before he got hurt, and if Zadorov can maintain what he's doing, the Flames might not have a tippity top pairing defenseman. They might just have a bunch of guys who'd be good second pairing defensemen. And that's fine if you can find chemistry with your defensemen, with your forwards, and you can find different combinations that you can mix and match and work in different situations. It makes you a lot easier to match up against than, say, if you were just throwing, you know, Giordano and Brody out there in every situation, no matter what, and that was the only answer you ever had.
Yeah.
Nothing against Giordano and Brody, but I think the different configuration opens up a lot of possibilities.
So let me read a few texts for and against. This from John. Do not put Backlund in a position to score points. Huberdeau's getting paid a ransom to produce points. Will not happen with Backlund. Does anybody remember the second best season in Matthew Tkachuk's career when he finished with 34 goals? Do you remember who he played that season with?
Almost exclusively
with?
I can't. Some guy with number 11 on his sweater.
Correct.
I think there was a 67 on that line, too.
67 and 88, depending on the time. That was the year that the Frolik train started to kind of.
Oh, and then he ended up in Buffalo, didn't he?
Was that 1819 he ended up in Buffalo or 1920? I think it was 1920.
It was 1920. Yeah, the train started getting off the rails that year.
Yes, it started in Bill Peters' first year. Bill Peters and Michael Frolik just were not on the same page, I believe. What in one of those years, the Alan Walsh tweet came out.
Alan Walsh. Noted Alan Walsh client, Michael Backlund. Michael Frolik. Backlund's a J.P. Barry guy.
Yes, Backlund's a J.P. guy. But so Matthew Tkachuk scored 17 5-on-5 goals in 18-19, his second best season to date, where he finished with 77 points that year. 17 of his 34 goals came 5-on-5, and 15 of them came with Backlund on the ice. So I think that's, John is a regular listener, so I don't want to, John, I don't agree with that take. I think Michael Backlund can play with productive players.
If John's point, and I don't want to put words in your mouth, John, if John's point is, if you're relying on Backlund to be the finisher on the line, okay, yeah, I'm willing to concede that Backlund, his skill set is not in finishing as much as it is in being a distributor and being a possession guy. But I also think that, you know, if you, like Coleman shown, he can finish. Huberdeau had a pretty good finish on Monday. I think they have other guys who can do that stuff.
And you don't need him to be a 115-point player for him to be a good member of the Calgary Flames. You just don't. And if this team is not going to be as high-scoring a team as Florida was last year, he may not get to 115 points ever as a member of the Calgary Flames. And that's
I think cumulatively he will, but I mean...
yeah, I would hope so.
But I mean, like, in any particular season, no. But I think if you're... I think if you're at saying, hey, can Backlund's line with Huberdeau consistently outscore the opposition? Small sample size, without scoring them 6-0. And we'll see if it can continue. But starting out 6-0 is a heck of a lot better than starting out other ways.
This guy says, have you guys noticed the theme for about 4 years? Whatever line is Backlund on, it seems to be one of the most solid lines. Pike and I may have noticed that. I may have been singing the Michael Backlund song for the last decade. Sometimes to, you know, some ridicule.
He's been...
But it's like, it's fun ridicule. I like it.
Yeah, and you know, the idea that it's... It is kind of fun, the fact that a quote-unquote analytics darling, someone who was sort of a little bit less heralded initially, turned out to be as good as a lot of fans hoped he would.
Yeah.
Because he, you know, I'm doing a lot of research and writing about the draft history of the Flames right now. The Flames had a lot of lean years in the draft, both before and after Backlund. And then Backlund, he was a guy they had to be patient with because he didn't become what he is now right away. You could argue he didn't do that till about 2012, 2013, 2014. Mm-hmm. But he's there now, and he hasn't really taken much of a step back in the last decade.
And I just one other thing about, you know, the Backlund not being productive or whatever. Do you remember it was about a two-month run from December of 2019 to when the season shut down in March 2020, when they reunited the 3M line, Mangiapane, Backlund, or Michael Backlund, and Matthew Tkachuk, when they put those three guys back together, they murdered the NHL. They were the best line on the planet for about 2 months, 2.5 months.
And then they stopped, and they weren't allowed to play for a little while.
Yes, and they weren't allowed to play again until August. And then this from Mike. Not going to lie, Mangiapane subbing for Coleman still intrigues me because of his finishing ability. Backlund's a phenomenal glue guy for Huberdeau, but if we're being intellectually honest, Backlund's not an elite finisher, and Mangiapane can be at his best, which is also also fair.
That's a very good point. Yeah. I don't think that Coleman is necessarily a permanent resident on the line because he's such a fixer. And he can add something to a lot of different lines. I think once the coaching staff feels that Huberdeau is where they want him to be in terms of his 200-foot play, then I think you can put someone else in that line. Because I don't think Mangiapane is quite where he wants to be or needs to be.
No.
And I don't think you want to have, for lack of a better term, two wingers to fix at once. I think putting Huberdeau with two really metronome-ish reliable guys is the recipe. But I think the recipe can change once that solidifies.
He's Ryan Pike from Flames Nation. He's the managing editor over at flamesnation.ca. My name is Pat Steinberg. We're coming at you on this hour of Flames Talk, available on Apple, Spotify, Google, and Amazon from the Doug Lacey's Basement Systems downtown studios. What, basement? Well, they have a lasting solution to keep your basement dry. If you experience any water in your basement, contact Basement Systems. They're all things basement-y. Visit dlbasementsystems.com.
Talking your team right now. Flames Talk is on Sportsnet 960 The Fan.
Time to go inside hockey on this Tuesday edition of Flames Talk for Calgary Co-op. Calgary's is the only family of products curated for the tastes of Calgarians, and you'll only find them at Calgary Co-op. And today, very special guest inside hockey as Calgary Flames Assistant General Manager Craig Conroy joins us live here on Flames Talk. And lots to get into when it comes to the Calgary Flames, and we will. But before we do that, want to start with what's coming up on Monday, November 28th. It is the annual Let's Talk Hockey for the Prep Program at prepprogram.ca. This year, Craig Conroy, Rob Kerr hosting the event, and then special guests, Nazem Kadri, Chris Tanev, and Noah Hannafin of the Calgary Flames. Tickets are available at prepprogram.ca. And Connie, what? This is the first time in 3 years you get to do it in person. It's taking place on Monday, November 28th at the Scotiabank Saddledome. You had to do it on Zoom the last couple of years. This is a pretty big deal that it's coming back in person.
Well, it's huge. I mean, to be able to actually... It was fine on Zoom, but it's never the same. I mean, to actually have the players there, have, you know, all the people, everybody kind of doing the playing cards. You know, that's one of my favorite things. A lot of places, I haven't seen it many places, where you get the cards and you put together lines and names and captains, and then you win prizes from it. And you know what? People love it. But really, online, you can't do that kind of stuff. So it's all those little things that'll be back, and to actually see the kids is going to be great too. I mean, just to be able to kind of interact and be with everybody. And then, you know, to have the three players that we have, it's amazing for us. You know, those are guys that I've always wanted to have on, but I also wanted them to be, well, not so much Kadri, but as soon as Kadri came, I thought he'd be perfect.
Yeah.
You know, so he was a guy. The only reason I didn't have asked the Florida guys was because we're playing Florida the next day. And, you know, those are emotional things. So I thought, you know what? Get those guys maybe next year, put them on the spot. But to have Tanev and Hannafin and Kadri, I think it's going to be, you know, and it's just fun to be a part of it again live.
Yep. And it's going to be at the Scotiabank Saddledome. Tickets are available at prepprogram.ca. They include a buffet. You get the full program with Craig and Rob Kerr, Nazem Kadri, Noah Hannafin, Chris Tanev, and all the proceeds go to the prep program. And you and Rob have been doing this for, like, as I said, like a decade, and this is one, the prep program is one that's always been a big deal for you. How come this one is always an event that you want to make sure that you're a part of?
Well, the prep program, the school is actually in my neighborhood in Briar Hill. So I think when you see the kids that go to the prep program and then they would come over and they transition into the regular school, it's amazing. You know, and to see how well they do. And now we've been doing it so long, to see them kind of, you know, go from school to the working world, it's amazing. You know, and to know and kind of hear before, Curtis is in charge now, but Barb was in charge before. And just her stories and the kids, and to kind of see how, and it's for the parents also. Because, I mean, when you have kids with Down syndrome, I think, as a parent, they don't know what to do either. I mean, everybody's, you know, especially when you have your first baby, you're like, whoa, overwhelmed. And then if you have a Down syndrome, you know, what do I do? How do I help them become the best they can be? And I think that's where the prep program steps in to help the kids, but also help the parents and kind of get everyone adjusted. And to see the work they do, you know, right from the time they start until, you know, and then their kids are still coming back after they're in the work world and doing things. And it's just special to me that to be a part of it and to see that growth in the kids.
And you get an opportunity. It's not your normal, like, panel discussion, because it's you and Rob, and there's, what, 20 years of history there. So it's a, you get the, you know, there's probably about 10 or 11 Rob and Craig bits that you do. But you also get you two with the players, and they're going to be way more, like Nazem Kadri and Chris Tanev and Noah Hannafin, going to be way more open if the AGM's up on stage with them too. Like, it's not your normal hockey panel conversation, is it?
Well, we have a good time. We have asked questions that maybe not, people don't even know. You know, maybe because we have some backstories, we know things behind the scenes, and we put the guys on the spot a little bit too, which is always, you know, I think the one that one of my favorite on the spot was Jay Feaster was here, the GM, and we were at a place on the big screen. I said, you know, Jay, I got a question to ask, and I had a picture of Marty's puck, and it looked like it was in. So I said, was it in? He's like, no comment. You know, so little, you know, you can have some fun with it and be a part of that. And to be able to do it and, you know, to see the guys, to meet the guys is always special too.
Yep.
I mean, we haven't had a lot of events where they, with COVID in the last 3 years, where you get to go. You know, we had the golf tournament this year, but that's kind of it right now. You know, the poker tournament and things will be coming, But to meet some of these guys is always special too.
It's easy to go get tickets. The website prepprogram.ca. All you got to do is scroll down, and you'll see the Let's Talk Hockey event. Noah Hanifin, Nazem Kadri, Chris Tanev, the special guests, hosted by Craig Conroy and Rob Kerr on Monday, November 28th. Prepprogram.ca, and we'll get back to that and close out the conversation with a little bit more information on the event on Monday. But okay, so what's been up with you of late? What's Conroy been up to?
You know, I was at the Five Nations tournament a little while ago, and then I've been out to BC watching some games, here. You know, it's nice. We have, with the Wranglers in town, I get to see them tonight and a couple more times, and then I'm off to Winnipeg. So, you know, it's been good. It's been busy. It's back to normal, though.
Yeah.
You know, you're like, ooh, I forgot how much travel we really have. And obviously just had, you know, another amateur scouting meeting today, and we're really digging in on the drafted players. Todd Button and his staff do an amazing job. So, you know, that was we're still identifying players, and it's fun to be back and get things going again. So as busy as it is, it's back to where it should be.
Yeah.
I think.
You want a water, by the way?
Oh yeah, if I could. Thank you.
I just realized that I have a bunch, and
yeah,
I'm here drinking mine. How would you evaluate the season so far? You're approaching the quarter mark of the season with a bunch of new faces. I know there was a rough stretch in there, but how would you evaluate overall what you've seen from the team?
You know, a little bit of a roller coaster. Started really well, you know, and I think even I didn't see the game, but I saw the highlights of the Edmonton game here. I mean, things looked like they were going pretty well until McDavid does what McDavid does. And,
yep,
you know, a goal mark you probably want back, but and then it kind of put us into a little tailspin, and then, you know, we've come out of it, and then, you know, it just feels like we're still trying to find ourselves and what this team's going to be, and that's all part of it. It's the line combinations. I mean, to see Rozichka come in and play as well as he has, that's fun. You know, that's what we're hoping for. You don't always want to have to go find people out,
yeah,
and make trades and bring in guys. So if someone internally can come through and take that next step, it's you know, because we've been with him right from the beginning, you know, to see him do that, he's playing great. And also, you know, I think Huberdeau looks like he's starting to come a little more comfortable. See him score the other night. It's always nice. You know, you want guys to start to hit their groove, you know, right around U.S. Thanksgiving. And we're right in the conversation. We're not where we want to be by any means. I mean, we're not saying we're happy with where we are,
mm-hmm,
but we're in a good spot. We're in the division. We're right there. And now we got to, you know, continue to get better and progress and keep putting wins. We're getting points, and that's the key thing right now.
A lot of different ways to go there. Craig Conroy's with us. Okay, tell me about Rozichka, though, because all of a sudden he gets put on the left side of Lindholm, and it's like a perfect fit. And nobody was talking about that being a fit going into the regular season. It was like, how is Rosie going to make this team? And, you know, these four centers and Rooney's here, and you don't want Rozichka as a number four center. And now he's playing in your top six, and he has 3 points on Saturday, and he's a point-per-game player. Like, it's been better than I think anybody would have expected.
Well, we always talk about opportunity and taking advantage of that opportunity, and that's what he's done. I mean, you know, Huberdeau was hurt. Somebody needed to go there. Rosie got an opportunity, and he took advantage. And that's all, you know, as players, that's all you ever want. You want to be able to say, okay, and here I am. I've done all the work, but I can't do anything when I don't play or I play 4 or 5 minutes a game.
Yep.
It's very hard. I mean, it's almost harder to play 4 or 5 minutes than not play at all, to be totally honest with you. So for him to come in and play and get that confidence and get that, you know, him and Lindholm and Toffoli look like they have good chemistry. And then all of a sudden, you know, he can build off that. And now, you know, where everyone was saying, where is he going to play? They're saying, you can't take this guy off that line.
Yeah.
You know, he's found a spot. And, you know, it just shows what you can do with a chance and an opportunity. And he's taken full advantage of it, and give him credit, you know, and that's what injuries do, you know, and that's what, you know, you hope all the young guys, when they get a chance, they can do the similar thing.
Well, and chemistry is such a weird thing in this league, right? Like, sometimes you're like, well, these two guys will be perfect fits together, and it doesn't work. And I think about Rozichka playing with Lindholm. I think about Huberdeau and how he's played with Backlund, because that's been a really good combo in the four games they've played together. And I'm not saying that it's going to stay that way. Who knows?
Yeah.
But, you know, I don't know if people would have said Backlund, Huberdeau to start the year. Yeah, that's going to be the combination, but maybe it is. And it was just it's just weird how chemistry can work in this league.
Well, and that's what it is. You just don't know. You know, in your mind, you might say these two guys are perfect together. They're going to be a great fit. And then when they get together, they're not.
Yep.
You know, and they just it doesn't work. You know, I've played with good players that I haven't had chemistry with, and then I've played with other players that I'm thinking, no, this isn't going to work. And we play great together. And you're like, whoa, you just feed off each other. You just know where each other are. And, you know, that's even like when Jerome, I thought I was going to be third line guy when I came here. Savard gets hurt. Away we went.
Yeah.
You know, and Jerome scoring goals. So he's like, I'm like, this is actually working pretty well for me. I didn't see it coming, but that's where you don't know until you get that opportunity or chance. You know, you're, and as a player, you want to be in the top six. You want to be on the power play. You want to play more. So, and then once you get in that feeling good about yourself, feeling good about your line,
yep.
You know, if you make a mistake, if you turn over a puck, if you, you know, there's a couple plays when Rosie threw backhand saw turn pucks over, but guess what? He came out next shift.
Yep.
So he felt, oh, I can try to make plays and I'm still going to get an opportunity to play. And that's,
yep.
You know, that's where it's hard in the NHL because you don't get a lot of chances like that. And you feel like if you make a mistake, you might not play again. So for him to have that and for him to take advantage of it, I give him all the credit in the world because he's done it all by himself.
You think Backlund and Huberdeau could be a long-term fit?
You know, I think Bax is playing great right from the start of the season. He's been one of the guys that I've really thought, hey, Bax looks really, really good. Yeah. Skating better than ever. I mean, just the confidence and the way he's carrying himself on the ice and, you know, the penalty kill, all that is just, you know, I thought, so then now you put Huberdeau with him, you're like, this is a nice little combination. I mean, is it going to stay that way? I don't know. You know, you just don't know. There could be more injuries. There could be other things. You know, once guys get going, he could, you know, Darryl could switch it up again. But right now it looks like it's working. Looks like there's some chemistry being built. And that's a positive thing on that top line, you know, and on Bax's line.
Well, and I think about when you talk about chemistry, like I think about you and Jerome, or you think about like Crosby and Kunitz. Kunitz made an Olympic team because he had this unbelievable connection with Crosby. And who would have been like, oh, well, Chris Kunitz is going to be the perfect guy to play on Crosby's line. But like, you never know something. Sometimes it just, yeah, it makes sense. Like, I think Bergeron could play with anybody, and I think there's certain guys that could. But sometimes when you look at it, you're like, well, this guy's clearly going to be a great fit with that guy, and it doesn't click right away.
Well, it's weird because you look, when you see McDavid play with Draisaitl up there, it clicks.
Yep.
You know, you watch it, and they split him up a lot, but when they feel like they need it, they put him back together. But you also look at, like, Taze and Kane. They don't play them very often in Chicago. They never really have. You know, it just seemed like, and I don't know if they don't click together or they just always have wanted to keep them apart. But, you know, and then if you look at Mario Lemieux, it felt like anybody you put with Mario was,
yeah,
they did well. And that's, you just don't know how it's going to work. You know, I think, you know, when I was in St. Louis, you had Brett Hull and, you know, you just watch, he pretty much could play with anybody though. It's weird how some guys can just play with anybody and it's seamless, and then other guys it just doesn't click. You know, that's what makes it such a unique thing, because when we look at everything and we say, oh, this guy should work well with that guy, but for some reason it does or some reason it doesn't.
Craig Conroy's with us as we continue along on Flames Talk on this Tuesday. How hard can it be? So if you're Jonathan, or if you're McKenzie, or if you're Nazem, and you come to a brand new team, Kadri just won a Stanley Cup. Obviously, Jonathan and McKenzie had been in Florida for so long. You got traded in the middle of a season. But just how long can it take to adjust to a new coach, a new team, new surroundings, all of what goes into it?
It can take a while. I mean, it really can. I think with Naz, he played in Toronto. He knows what it's like to play
right.
In Canada. He knows he's got the swagger of winning a Stanley Cup, and as well as he's playing and just his personality, you can tell that's not going to take him long. You know, where with Huberdeau and Uyghur coming from Florida, even though, you know, you think you know what to expect, you know, they've been there a long time. It's just, it might take a little time, you know, and that's all it is to feel comfortable, to feel comfortable with the coach. I mean, I think, you know, system-wise, kind of the way they, you know, they say it's different, but I mean, I had Joel, I had Daryl. I don't think Andrew Burnett switched it a lot from what Joel did. And, you know, it's just about hard work, playing responsible on the defensive side of the puck, and, you know, they let you be creative when you need to be creative. And for whatever reason, it just, you know, everybody wants 20 points a game, you know, and it's not realistic, you know, but eventually, you know, Huberto's been very consistent. He's getting points. See him score last night. The smile on his face, having fun. He had a couple injuries, and it takes time, you know. And I think Uyghur's been totally fine. You know, what we expect, what we want. I mean, that's all. You're still looking for pairings, though. You know, it's, we've had a lot of injuries. We've had guys moving around. And I think on the back end, as much as forwards, we're still looking for those pairings and who gels the best. Is he better on the right side, or is he better on the left side? Those are other things. I mean, because I always thought Brody, he liked to play on the right side. Not a lot of people want to do that. They want to play on their strong side.
Yeah.
But he wanted to play on the other side. He felt more comfortable that way, and he played better. You know, so you're, you know, even when we would talk to scouts, they would say, we like Brody on the right. I'm like, well, you know, he likes it better on the right. But right now he's playing the left. So, you know, that's all part of it.
Well, and last year, you found lightning in a bottle with the Lindholm line, and you found these unbelievable three pairings that really played together every minute all year long. There was, you know, four or five games at the beginning of the year where those three pairings weren't set. Well, you lose Gudbranson, and you bring in Uyghur, and then obviously you lose Matthew and Johnny. Like, it can, even from Daryl's standpoint, I would imagine it can take some time to figure out exactly what's best and who needs to play with who. That can't be an easy thing for a coach to figure out, because, again, you never know, right?
Well, in your mind, he probably had who he wanted to play together before the season started, and when it didn't get off to the way we wanted to, even though we were winning games, I mean, we were still playing well. You know, we were 5-1, so it wasn't like it just maybe it wasn't clicking the way they want. So then he tinkered with it to try to figure out, hey, is there a combination that could work better? Is there something I can do to make the team better?
Yeah.
You know, and I think it's still a work in progress, but I do think right now Huberto, Backlund, they look really good. Rozichka on that line looks really good. But that could change in the next couple of days. I mean, you just don't know what's going to happen. And, you know, that's what's great about pro sports. There's always change if there's injuries, if, you know, guys coming and going. But they all, the one thing you know is everybody wants to get off to a great start, especially in a new team. And, you know, you're a big name. And, you know, Huberto probably puts a lot of pressure on himself. He seems like that type of guy that wants to do well for everybody and play well. And he's working hard. It just maybe the points aren't coming at the pace everybody else wants them to right now.
But they are starting to come.
They are starting to come, yeah. And we have to give time. I mean, we're at the point in the season where people are going to say playoffs, this, that, because of the, you know, U.S. Thanksgiving. And we're in a good spot. You know, we're right there. We're not as high as we'd like, but, you know, we feel like we're in striking distance. And if we put a good stretch together, we'll be right up at the top.
Just a few more with Craig Conroy. We'll bring it back to the prep program in a second, but I don't think we ever have heard the Craig Conroy off-season experience in terms of how you observed and were a part of all of what went down this summer. As part of the management team, you are obviously a part of it, and seeing how Brad and your group went about all of that business. What would be the Reader's Digest Craig Conroy off-season story?
I mean, stressful. Very stressful. You know, hoping, I guess, is the best word, that you get the both guys signed long-term. And, you know, you can add something else to kind of build on what we did last year. So when John was the first domino, that when he told us he wasn't coming back, he was testing free agency, you know, that kind of put everything else in motion. Okay, now we got to figure out Matthew. And, you know, it's hard to lose two.
Yeah.
You know, you lose, you know, and you become attached to players. And you do, you know, and Bob Hartley always said, Craig, you fall in love with our player. But you see them as young guys from the time we drafted them. You do grow with them. You know, you see them getting older. You you like them. I mean, you just like the guys. You want them to do well. You want them to – we want to do that. With those guys, we want to win a Stanley Cup. That's the goal. And to have them say, hey, you know, we're going to go somewhere else, it's hard. It is hard. And then quickly you put on your, you know, being in management, oh, how do we replace this? How do we salvage what we can? And with Johnny, we really couldn't. It was – the day before free agency, that, you know, 6:30 at night, he told us he's not coming back. And, you know, there's nothing you can do. It's not like you can trade his rights. It's not – it is what it was. You know, we had to move on from that.
Yeah.
But with Matthew, we had an opportunity to do something and, you know, to be able to say, okay. And even though Matthew didn't have all the rights, he definitely could say, hey, I'm not going to sign long-term with you guys. So – you know, would like to move on.
Yep.
And that's what happened. And that's his right. Disappointed again. You know, you go from one disappointment to the next disappointment. And, you know, obviously there's a group of teams and you know, Brad starts making calls and he's got people on the board and these are what people are offering. And, you know, I think Florida was definitely the team that was offering a way not to have to rebuild.
Yep.
You know, an opportunity to continue forward with some really great pieces that we maybe wouldn't have to rebuild. You know, if I looked at the other teams, it was probably more, you know, younger players, it was draft picks, it was going to be that type of thing. So to be able to have that Florida deal pop up, and Brad did a great job grinding that deal out, and you know, it was exciting to get those guys and have them on the team and then to be able to get them signed.
Yep.
Long term, now we gotta win games.
Yep. One day there's going to have to be a book that comes out about the off season, because just whether it's you or Tree or whoever, someone needs to write a book about this off season.
Yeah, it was stressful. You know, it is stressful because, you know, 1 minute you're really happy with the way this – I mean, obviously, we were disappointed losing Edmonton. So that was hard, you know, because in my mind, my dream was always as a player to play against Edmonton in the mm-hmm. playoffs. We got to play against Vancouver, but never Edmonton. So, you know, I think I pictured it differently in my mind if I was playing. And then when it happened, you're like, oh, you know, it was hard. It kind of – especially the first couple weeks right after, it's almost like – You didn't appreciate the season, winning the round. It really didn't even feel until they lost almost. Then you felt like, okay, well, now we can get back. Okay, the draft's coming. We got to deal with, you know, we got John's contract coming up. Matthew, let's move forward. Mm-hmm. You know, for a little bit, you're upset about the loss. I mean, I took it hard, and I think all the guys did, because it is Edmonton. It's the Battle of Alberta. It's something we've waited for so long, and it just didn't go the way we thought.
For sure.
Yeah.
Okay, so the event is Let's Talk Hockey. It's coming up November 28th. It's a Monday night at the Scotiabank Saddledome. And so if you're like, okay, so you guys have talked about the prep program, we've heard Connie talking about it before. Prep program is an opportunity for families with children with Down syndrome to really, from a young age, start a completely different kind of education program than they'd get anywhere else. And that's really what it's all about. From a young age, being able to let these kids have a different way of learning, and a way of learning that I think is very much proven at this time with what they've done at Prep.
Exactly. And then they integrate into, you know, with everyone, regular school, and they do amazing. You know, they are, you know, when I would go over to the school and see my kids and see the kids that were there that I knew from prep program, and just how seamless it was. That's what I love about it, you know, because, you know, in the end, they're all kids. They all want to be together.
Yeah.
And I think this is just one thing. This prep program just gets them ready to take that next step, you know, moving forward.
Well, and you've got to hang out and be around a lot of the families and the kids, and every time you talk about that, you light up, because it really is like it's truly like one of the coolest things, hanging out with the families and hanging out with the kids.
Well, you know, one of the things is when you first go, Barb told me, okay, Craig, you don't, no touching, no, but I said, oh, okay, you know, like I'm getting all what I can do, what I can't do. And then when you're with the kids, they are jumping on me. I'm like, Barb. She's like, okay, you know, the parents are here and it's okay. Because they're just, they're so amazing and they're loving. And they, you know, even though I'm like, I didn't think I was supposed to give them a hug. You know, you just want to be respectful, but they're just amazing. And they just, yeah, it's hard to put in words when you're with them. How much fun it is and how much, you know, they're just having fun. They just love it. And, you know, when you get to see them kind of grow and move on and get jobs, and that's pretty special. Yep. I mean, we've been doing this. Kelly Rudy really started this out of a bar, I think, and he grew it. And then, you know, he said, I think I might take a step back. Would you be willing to? And I, you know, I thought 100%, I'd love to be a part of it.
Well, the event is on November 28th. It goes at 6:30. It's hosted by Craig Conroy and Rob Kerr. And then Nazem Kadri, Chris Tanev, Noah Hannafin are the special guests. Sometimes there's other special guests that show up that aren't advertised. Tickets are $150. You get a $100 charitable tax receipt. You get a buffet included, silent auction there, a whole bunch of different prizes, and the unbelievable hockey talk part of the event. Let's Talk Hockey is the event. The website to learn more about Prep Program, go to prepprogram.ca, and to get tickets and find out more about the event, prepprogram.ca. Give us a one final sell on why you need to be at the event on Monday.
You know, your first chance to see the guys. You know, maybe I'll even let you guys ask some questions. I don't know.
Nice.
Unless they're too hard.
Get them vetted first.
Yeah, I'll have to do that for sure. But you know what? It's just going to be a great opportunity. Come to the Dome, see the guys, and then, you know, and help the kids. I mean, really, it's about the kids as much as anything, you know, and I really appreciate you doing this for me today, Pat, getting the word out.
No problem. I love it. The event's awesome. And, I mean, nobody hosts an event quite like Rob does too. So it's like the whole thing is awesome. You'll never be at a hockey event quite like this one, and all to an unbelievable cause.
Well, I couldn't have said it better myself. Craig, you said it.
Thanks for doing this. Appreciate it.
Thanks again.
Craig Conroy, the assistant general manager of the Calgary Flames. The event is Let's Talk Hockey. It's coming up on November 28th at the Scotiabank Saddledome. And one more time, if you're interested in buying tickets, the website prepprogram.ca. The cause is awesome, as you just heard Craig talk about, and the event is outstanding. It was great the last 2 years virtually. It'll blow it out of the water just because you get to all be in person. As good as it possibly could be virtually over Zoom, it's going to be amazing coming up on November 28th. One more time, prepprogram.ca. Craig Conroy, Calgary Flames Assistant General Manager, joining us inside hockey for Calgary Co-op with new product families, member rewards, and sale events. You'll find more quality, more savings in every department every day at Calgary Co-op. It's Steinberg along with you as we start to wrap things up this hour on Flames Talk for our outstanding producers, Taylor and Cam. My name is Pat, and Ryan Pike was with us this hour as well. Flames Talk's available on Apple, Spotify, Google, Amazon, and wherever you get your podcasts. This has been The Sports Drive, brought to you by Calgary Lock and Safe. Do you own a pharmacy? Find out how Calgary Lock and Safe can retrofit your locks to meet the new mandates. Visit CalgaryLockandSafe.com.